Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Your life, your country. You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Podcast.
You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Podcast. Delighted you're with us. Well, the great effort is underway anew to unseat President Trump from office. They didn't want him to be the nominee. They wanted an insurance policy to prevent him from ever getting the nomination. Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, the whole crew in deep state. They were never satisfied. They got the special counsel, courtesy of Comey's leak, and the phony dossier, of course, going through the FISA court, lying to them, leaving out material facts, namely that Hillary had paid for the dossier from the FISA judge, surveilled an innocent American, sent innocent Americans off to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal bills, wrecking lives along the way, putting Paul Manafort, a 70-year-old man, in solitary confinement. And now, disappointed in the outcome of that, they needed something else. And so we're on the verge of an impeachment of the President of the United States. That's where we are today. And I have never seen a more dishonest American media. Now, none of this should surprise us, I guess, after what we've seen. None of it. I mean, there's not even an attempt to take an objective look at the facts, certainly not an attempt to look at the underlying problem with Joe Biden leading up to the 2016 election. Now, you can argue that Trump shouldn't, you know, tweet about this, and I've made note of that and said send as much on Twitter. Not that he shouldn't tweet at all, but his focus should be on the American people. I would let the Democrats go off a cliff on this, but sort of the constant updating and constant interjection and leave that to the pundits. You're the president. I would just leave that all to the pundits, and the president should go about the work of the American people. Let his lawyers, let the Justice Department respond to all these things. But as far as the president is concerned, I would, for the most part, just let these Democrats continue to try to thwart the will of the American people. And if the economy suffers, I'd lay it right on their shoulders. It's right on their shoulders. Because we have the best economy in the world. We have no recession in sight. That was all a big lie at the beginning of the year. And if the Democrats want to do this to our country, then they're going to do it to the country. I mean, there's nothing that Trump's going to say that's going to stop the Democrats. It's not like Nancy Pelosi's going to wake up or Adam Schiff and say, oh, Trump tweeted about this. I guess we're not going to do this. That's just not going to happen. But we're learning more about the timeline of all of this, which I found fascinating, namely that it looks like Adam Schiff had some advanced knowledge of this whistleblower. Namely, it looks like things were starting to cook up, get cooking back in August. That's when the whistleblower complaint first came to the attention of the White House. But it seems like Adam Schiff kind of knew about it ahead of time. Now, why is that? Why do you think Adam Schiff knew about this ahead of time? Why do you think the whistleblower rules changed, namely that you could be a whistleblower with secondhand knowledge? You didn't need firsthand knowledge. You know, President Trump's frustrated. He wants to confront his whistleblower. That's not how the statute reads. They changed the way the rules go. But it's not a criminal trial, so you don't have Sixth Amendment rights to confront your accuser, which is guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution, Sixth Amendment. You have the right to confront your accuser. Otherwise, we have star chambers. Joining us now, Victor Davis Hanson, one of the greats, of course, from the Hoover Institution, has been following every aspect of this, as Hillary Clinton also, well, has tongues wagging, because she's now chiming in, and people are wondering if she'll throw her hat in the ring again. Let's listen.
I believe he knows he's an illegitimate president. He knows. He knows that there were a bunch of different reasons why the election turned out the way it did. And I take responsibility for those parts of it that I should. But, Jane, it was like applying for a job and getting 66 million letters of recommendation and losing to a corrupt human tornado.
Hillary does an interview with Jane Pauley. A lot of tough follow-up questions there. Joining us now, Victor Davis Hanson. Victor, how are you? Good to talk to you, my friend.
Thank you.
So what do you think of, first of all, the state of things as they are right now with this impeachment inquiry? Then we'll get into Hillary.
Well, when we get these things, I always ask what the end game is. And we're 13 months from the election, and I guess it's this urgency suggests that, as I think Al Green, that representative, Democratic representative of Texas, said that if you don't impeach now, you're going to lose the election. And they don't have, nobody's introducing into the House any of these issues that they've been debating and promulgating, reparations, wealth tax, 90% income tax rate, Green Deal. So they don't have an alternate agenda. And every time there's a debate, Trump's polls go up 2 or 3 points. So I think they feel that if they don't do it now, they're going to have to abide by the decision of the electorate. And they don't want that because on the face of it, there's really less here than any of the other psychodramas, the 25th Amendment, the Emoluments Clause, the Logan Act, the voting machine, the Mueller investigation. So I think they're just throwing it up. What I'm kind of upset about, Laura, is that what's different this time is that people that used to be credible, William Weld talking about the death penalty for treason, or David Gergen saying if somebody murders or kills the whistleblower, Trump's responsible. We've got a polarization now where we have a lot of people, and they're not even the hard left. They're mainstream people have completely lost their mind. And that's I haven't seen that before. And even people who used to be reasonable, some on Fox News, the Drudge Report, or all these people, they have completely flipped over. That's what's concerning. I think the left's strategy in that sense has been effective, just to wear out chaos. And then so people in the middle or rhinos will just say, just let it all go away. I can't deal with this anymore. And I think that's the strategy, to wear Trump out, wear his supporters out, and then not to face the electorate in 2020. Of course, I don't think they've thought about it because there's no chance in blank that the Senate's going to convict Donald Trump, even if they have a trial.
So since they know that, Victor, they know the Senate won't convict him, this is just a narrative that they want to seal of a corrupt president with corrupt motives and corrupt intentions and hope that that swamps the prosperity that the nation has enjoyed since he came into office. That's it.
That's right. Look what happened, Laura. If we were talking just a week ago, we would have been talking about Trump's great speech at the U.N., the series of interviews he had for foreign leaders were very successful. He'd gone up 3 or 4 points in the real clear average. He was soaring. And then all of a sudden, the psychodrama was unleashed, and that's all we've talked about. And I even think that in a strange way that a lot of the progressives are so delusional, they'll go to America and say, you know what, we'll take out Joe Biden. We understand that he did something, and Trump will have to agree to bow out, and we'll take a hit, you take a hit. And that's not going to happen either, but it's very funny how they were willing to put Biden on that sacrificial altar because he'd escaped all scrutiny, even after that ridiculous boast he made at the Council on Foreign Relations that was taped. Now he's damaged goods. And they know in the long term that Elizabeth Warren will be a weaker candidate than Joe Biden. That's just a no-brainer.
Well, what I don't follow here is how even certain reporters you don't expect anything from. But when people actually make up quotes whole cloth who are the leaders of this impeachment inquiry, whether it's Adam Schiff or Pelosi, that's what's shocking. Let's listen.
Your Republican colleagues say, well, the call is the call. There's nothing here that rises to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors.
Well, they're wrong. And what remains to be seen, because it's not just what happens in the call, it's part of the sequencing of events as well. You withdraw a couple $100 million worth of assistance to a country, and then a couple of days later say, by the way, can you help me with my campaign, in other words? There's a sequencing there.
Okay, never said that. That's the problem. Never said it.
No, the closest thing to that was what Joe Biden did say. Donald Trump is accused of a thought crime that he didn't do. But Joe Biden, it's very funny because they're making a case when they accuse Trump to convict Joe Biden because he actually did bribe. Under pressure, they backed off and fired this prosecutor. I don't think they realize that there's a lot of things coming out. We don't know what the Ukraine's going to release yet. We do not know anything about these three prosecutors. I don't have a lot of confidence in Horowitz, but maybe Uber and Durham are going to find things. I don't see where the news cycle in the next 6 weeks is going to favor them, but it shows that they feel that the media is on their side, the foundations, the university, Hollywood, and maybe they can create in popular culture such a sense of chaos that people just want to all go. And they're targeting the independent voter, I think. And it's very important, though, I think you're right about that, to let Trump concentrate on his agenda and let people around him defend him. And I don't think it does any good to get back and forth with Nancy Pelosi or Adam Schiff.
No, I think the idea of well, we're going to I need to confront my accuser and Adam Schiff is guilty of treason. I mean, all that does is give more oxygen to the left of saying, well, Trump's becoming unhinged. I mean, if I hear he's Roy Cohn one more time, I'll just, you know, I don't know if I can take that frayed and tired comparison. But this is what they'll continue to do. So, you know, Bill Clinton was pretty smart. He also had an agreeable media. But when he said, look, I'm just going to do the work of the American people, and he let his lawyers do it. He had to do his grand jury testimony via videotape. But then he just went about his business. To me, that's a much better way.
We should remember, though, that he didn't just let them deal with the media. They turned loose James Carville, who really attacked Ken Starr and called him a cigarette lawyer, who prosecuted an attorney. They were pretty tough.
Yep.
They went nuclear on everybody, and they made it so difficult, and that's how they won. And almost all of the Republicans that were forefront in that impeachment effort lost in the next election. And maybe that'll happen as well. But if Trump can just stay cool, and he's going to take a short-term, I think he's going to take a short-term hit in 2 or 3 points in the polls, and then he's going to go back up as he usually does, because there's a lot, as I said, there's a lot of good things coming down the pipe for him, especially these Democratic debates. We haven't had one in a while, and every time we hear one, people get appalled, especially the donor class. They look at this and they say, wow, we had Hillary and we gave her money and she gave these kind of coffee chats for us on Wall Street and Silicon Valley, but this crazy Warren and Sanders, they want to take our money away. And they're not going to either sit this out or they won't give, no, they'll give money to Trump because that debate frightens a lot of the people that supported Hillary Clinton.
Well, the thing that I find amazing is that Adam Schiff will play this, and then I'll give you the latest news update. Let's listen.
The president believes that it is God-given right to shake down foreign leaders for help in his reelection, and he should not be encumbered by the public finding out about it. And that's what has incensed the president, and I'm willing to take the brunt of that.
Okay, well, we found out even Kenneth Vogel for the Washington Post, who's a big liberal, he had to tweet, the Ukrainians weren't made aware that the assistance was being delayed or reviewed until more than 1 month after the call. So the Ukrainians didn't know about the aid and being withheld until late August. And it was released on September 11th that it looks like the reason it was withheld is because they objected to the sale on national security grounds because the Ukraine had produced engines and missiles and jets, the same company named Motor Sich, it's a Ukrainian factory. They were proposing to sell it to a Chinese company. That was the reason that they were delaying the aid.
I think what the Democrats want people to do is make a series of assumptions. Yeah. And then once you do that, then you play on their field. Assumption is it's okay for people in a confidential or classified setting to leak conversations from the President of the United States to an intelligence officer who is corroborating with probably House Democrats or maybe Fusion GPS or lawfare people. And then you leak that. And then you make the second argument that everybody has a right to know what the president says confidentially to a foreign leader. I mean, if we could go back and listen to the Iran negotiations between Obama and the Iranians about a nocturnal infusion of cash for hostages or what follow up on the hot mic with the Russians, nobody ever on the Republican side ever thought that you could listen to every conversation that Obama said. Presidents shouldn't have that restraint. But once you're going down this line and we start to try to out-debate them or logic, but at some point you need to say, this is just ridiculous. It's not symmetrical. You would never do this for your own people. And when you hear Biden, of all people, saying that Giuliani shouldn't be on television. It's crazy, given his criminal exposure, or what we saw with the dossier with the Steele, or Hillary, who hired a foreign national with three firewalls to destroy her opponent's campaign and then to send that off to other people to destroy his transition presidency. And she's complaining about it was unfair that she lost. So you have to make all these absurd assumptions, and then you get in with them back and forth. But at some point, somebody's just going to have to say, Trump's going to do his job. He's not going to let anybody listen to a presidential call. He's going to play by the same role that you guys play by, and that's it, and let the people decide in November.
Do you think that Hillary will actually get back in the race? I mean, I don't think so, but...
No. I think if anybody would get in the race to save them, it would be Michelle Obama, because she's got much higher ratings than Hillary. It's a way of wink and nod to get Barack a third term. She's very popular after her memoir. She can say that she was first lady for 8 years, but I don't see that happening. But I do think they have an existential crisis, that once they have sacrificed Biden for this impeachment narrative, if you look at they don't have another candidate right now. Nobody in America is not going to elect Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. It's just not going to happen. And so it's sort of like the Howard Dean when he was leading, you know, in 2004. And then all of a sudden, John Kerry had to be pushed in there by the establishment. And I think that's going to happen, because if they get rid of Biden, they don't have a viable candidate. They just don't.
Yeah, I don't think Obama has the, she's very popular, but that's only because she's not a politician. She'll never be as popular as she is right now, and I don't think policy is her thing. And I think you'll see a very different Michelle Obama if she runs for office. It's a whole different ballgame than going on a book tour to a friendly audience.
If you and I had this conversation in 2000, we'd say the same thing about Hillary. We thought, you know, she's been first lady, but she's had problems with Lowe's law firm. The idea she'll be a senator or politician.
No, I predicted it. I predicted it in 2000. I wrote a book called The Hillary Trap. That was my first book. I knew she was going to run.
But don't you think she was better qualified? I think that Michelle Obama has better political smarts than Hillary does.
Well, I think Hillary had more political ambition. I think Michelle loves the celebrity life and loves the talk shows and they got $200 million. And, you know, see, I think they love that, Victor, but I'm wrong.
Something's going to have to happen. Something's going to have to happen.
Warren can't be the nominee, in other words. You think Warren can't? No.
No, she can't be the nominee. I've been talking to a lot of people in Silicon Valley recently, donor class for the Hoover Institution, and I'm just struck how many progressives or independents that back Hillary Clinton will not back Elizabeth Warren. They just won't do it because it's a suicide pact. And she talks about a wealth tax or a 70 or 90% income tax or the new Green Deal. They just won't do it. And I wouldn't be surprised, but I think a lot of them would give to Trump to stop her. They're that adamant against her. She's not a good candidate either. She's got a lot of she comes across as shrill. I know that's a sexist word, but she does. Bernie's not going to be the candidate either. So I don't know why they put this thing up, because the logical result of this whole caper was to destroy the Biden candidacy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, by the way, Bill Maher from HBO, I mean, he's obviously a big liberal, but even he was, you know, he'd like someone like Warren, obviously, or Sanders. That's more of his cup of tea, I guess. But even he pointed out that if Don Jr. had done, you know, half of what, you know, Hunter Biden had done, they'd be a huge stink. Let's listen.
This kid was paid $600,000 because his name is Biden by a gas company in Ukraine, this super corrupt country that just had a revolution to get rid of corruption. It just looks bad. And the Republicans are geniuses at muddying the water.
Not on this one.
Just to know, it's all going to be about, you did this in Ukraine. Well, Joe Biden did this. It does sound like something Don Jr. would do. And if Don Jr. did it, it would be all Rachel Maddow was talking about.
Yeah, well, that is true, is it not? I mean, Biden just got a total pass on this.
Yeah, I think the problem with it is there's no logical explanation, because he has no expertise in oil and Ukraine and foreign policy. We don't. There's no record he did anything. He went over there. His father was appointed administration point man on Ukraine, so we know what it was all about. He can't produce documents that he did something positive or he was valued as a trusted advisor. We all know what it was, and we know that Biden bragged about it, so they were open about it. So every time they start to defend that, and they do, they weaken any counter case against Trump. So they're in a, they can't square that circle. The only way they can square it is to say, you know what, Biden's got to go because there's other reasons to get rid of him because he was sort of muddled on the campaign. But we can't press this case against Trump when he's there because he's an obstacle to it. And I think everybody's going to agree on that. I mean, Bill Maher says something like that, and he's on the left side. You can really see what their problem is. And Biden just makes it worse. And Hunter Biden won't come out. I mean,
where is he?
Come out and said something.
Nobody. Why is nobody staking out his apartment or his house? He's like, he's a deadbeat dad. Doesn't he owe his
No.
He's not a deadbeat dad. I think they want to do a paternity test or something with some kid. I don't know if that's legitimate or not, but he seems like he's on the run.
I don't know. I think when we say Hunter Biden, we think of the early car crash. We think of his brother dying. And then the Biden tragedy. It's all off limits. But when he gets out there, it won't be. And he can't speak to the press because the moment he does, he's contradicted his own dad already. His father said they'd never spoken. Hunter said he did. Next time he gives an interview, it'll be at odds with what Biden said. And I think people are really, I really do think that a lot of people, if you start listening to a few in the Democratic Party, David Axelrod or Doug Schoen, they just want this to go away because they're smart enough to realize that Biden was their best ticket to get back in power. And they've destroyed that avenue, and they're just upset about it. And they lived through the Clinton impeachment. They don't want to go there again. And people are going to get mad, Laura. I can already sense it just talking to people. If they try this and they actually go through with impeachment, you're going to see a popular furor that you haven't seen in a long time.
I think, Victor, you have hit the nail on the head because every time we hear about, oh, the left is so angry. They're so angry. They're so angry at Trump. You know what I say? I said they have no idea what anger is until the righteous anger of the American voter is expressed next November. I think people are really angry that this will affect our economy. It's affecting our foreign policy. This is going to affect Trump's ability to deal with the Chinese because they're going to think, well, he's not going to be around. I mean, I'm going to deal with him. Like, it's affecting everything.
Yeah, you look at the point people who are the spokesmen that are on television pressing this case, and they're Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff.
Yeah.
And Nancy Pelosi, and they don't come across as charismatic or persuasive. They do come across as monotonous. And then people say, you know what, I've heard you before. I've heard you the last 3 years. I'm tired of it. Go make it. You guys want this agenda, go make a case for it. Pass bills, put it up there, and then go out and campaign. And especially the timing when we're so close to an election, and we're already campaigning for an election. And boy, it could. The reason that these pros are worried because every one of those, not just the House candidates, but also the Democratic candidates, are going to have to say yes or no what they want impeachment. And they can produce all the polls that say 50-50 or 49-51, but you start to see that there's no public support for it.
Now, they're going to keep polling, just like with Brexit, though, right? Until they get, there's a momentum for impeachment. Did the same thing with Brexit. The Brexit vote happened 3 years later. We're still trying to get Brexit. I mean, it's the same.
Yeah,
they don't like democratic results. They don't like democracy.
I'm not worried about the long term because I think long term, Trump is going to get a much weaker candidate. I think the news cycle with all these investigations and the Democratic debates and the monotony of it's going to favor Trump. But just short term, he's got to just concentrate on the economy, foreign policy. Don't get distracted. He'll lose 2 or 3 points now and then in the polls. Don't worry about it. And let the natural cycle play out. And it's really going to, after the initial buzz, it's really going to hurt them. It really is. And he's got a lot of really gifted spokesmen. Devin Nunes is so much more adept in the House than Adam Schiff. In the Senate, Lindsey Graham's been doing a good job. he's got a lot. He just should let people handle it for him because they've got the winning argument. Because on the truth, it's on their side. He didn't do anything wrong.
I agree. And Victor, don't you also think this is in part to sully up any Supreme Court pick that Trump might have? Let's say a Supreme Court vacancy comes up over the next year. They want to say this man is illegitimate. He can't put a Supreme, and they want to like have people in the streets. It turned this into a, you know, nationwide protest.
No, absolutely. And that goes back to FDR. When FDR did the court packing, he started attacking Supreme Court justices. Later, his aide said, well, that might have been stupid, but it might have been smart because we got favorable court rulings from justices who were scared. I think that's part of it as well. They want to not only get a more moderate nominee, but they want Kavanaugh and others, Roberts, to say, you know what, you've got to be more moderate, or if you don't, there's going to be a court packing scheme. There's going to be another Kavanaugh cycle, you know, melodrama 3.0. And, I think that's what they're trying to do. If they had handled the second Kavanaugh caper a little bit better, but they were so muddled and they were contradictory and the witnesses were so, you know, pathetic that it went nowhere. But they got 5 or 6 days out of it. But that's what they're after. And I think you're right, too. I think that's one of the main reasons they hate Trump so much, because if he were to get elected, you could envision a 7-3 or even an 8-2 court in 5 years. And that, I don't know what they'd do if that happened.
No, I really, their heads are going to twist off and just fly right off their bodies. I mean, they're just, they can't take it. I mean, the people are speaking too much. I was in, I was in South Side, Chicago on Friday night doing a show for Fox, Victor, and boy, I learned a lot in this trip, and it's the second one I've done on crime in Chicago. And I can say this, that Donald Trump should not be dissuaded from going into these urban areas, because just going, talking to folks, listening to them, working with the faith leaders there, these are just – there are common sense solutions and common sense people who say, like, none of this is working. The old leadership isn't working. They all know it. And it wasn't a political show, but they know that the solutions that happen to have been offered by the left haven't worked. And I've got to say, I think there's a lot of opportunities for conservatives.
I couldn't agree more. That, you remember the rally that he had in Phoenix it was in New Mexico, and you saw all the Latino T-shirts. And he was really talking about the Hispanic vote. And where I am in California, it's about 90% Mexican-American in my hometown. And I can tell you the jobs, nobody's ever seen an economy like that. And we used to have a 16% unemployment rate in Central California. It's down to 5. And people appreciate that. And they're working, and they don't like illegal immigration. They don't like people driving around that are without licenses and registration and hit and run. And that message resonates. And he could really make a lot of gains. It won't matter necessarily in California, but it would help at the congressional level. A lot of those seats that we lost in California can be won back pretty easily.
I completely agree. All those people who said they were going to work with Trump and be bipartisan and common sense, every single one of them should be thrown out of office. And any Republican who is fueling this impeachment nonsense with vague statements and opaque commentary and piling on, all those people should go. This is not the time for vague or unhelpful commentary. We have enough of that from the left.
No, I agree. And I don't know what people like Ben Sasse and Mitt Romney are. Well, I don't understand their strategy, because I think the facts itself of the impeachment are going to refute them. And then more importantly, when Biden drops out, what are they going to do? They're going to say that Trump is not preferable to Warren or Sanders. So they're in a no-win situation, and I think they're going to start to realize that pretty quickly. And it's really going to hurt these never-Trump people. I mean, as I said, there's been people at Fox News and the Drudge who have been going over.
I don't know
Trump
what happened to Drudge. I don't know what's going on
either,
there.
But
I don't know. I mean, he's always kind of an iconoclast, and I don't mind that. I mean, he's always kind of distrustful of all people in power. And I mean, that has its place, I guess, but this is for the whole thing. This is for the. This is it. This is for the whole thing. This is not for, this is not one controversy.
No, he's not on the, he's not, he really does want to see that Trump impeached and his presidency imploded. It's clear when you look at it. And there's people at Fox News that want the same thing, and that's unusual. And I don't know what their thinking is, but they're going to look very silly if when Elizabeth Warren is nominated or somebody like her. Because then what do? They sit out and say, you know what, I can't vote for Donald Trump, and I'm willing to put up with the new Green Deal and reparations and a wealth tax. It just, that's contrary to everything they've told us for the last 30 years. And so it's, they're going to be hypocrites par excellence. I don't think people game this thing down two or three stages or iterations as it's moving. It doesn't move in a good direction if you think about it carefully.
I want to thank Victor Davis Hanson. It's always great having him on. Victor, thanks so much. Did you know that that dirty CPAP system can actually make you sick? If you really knew what was growing in your mask and your hose, it would keep you up at night, I'm telling you. Well, now you don't have to worry thanks to SoClean. SoClean is the world's first automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills up to 99.9% of all CPAP germs and bacteria that can build up in your mask, your hose, and reservoir. Now, the SoClean machine is convenient, it's easy, and if people think this is too complex, don't worry, you'll be able to use it. And it's all thanks to their advanced technology, you'll enjoy a cleaner, healthier CPAP experience. So do not put your own health at risk, your loved one's health at risk, with outdated machines because you think it's cheaper or messy chemicals. It's not worth it. This is your health we're talking about. Right now, our listeners can try SoClean risk-free for 30 nights. Even shipping is free. So don't wait and go to SoClean.com to take advantage of this 30-night risk-free trial and free shipping. Again, that is SoClean.com. Go to SoClean.com. Ladies and gentlemen, only 1 week left for the summer inventory clearance sale from Chamonix. Summer might be over, but the sale goes on. And right now, when you order Genucel jawline treatment, you get the classic Genucel for bags and puffiness free. That's right, you get it free today. Here's Beverly from Huntsville raving about the results she saw with Genucel. She said she loves the product. She saw a difference almost immediately. She recommends it to all her friends when they ask her, how does your skin look so great at your young age? Well, look, it's time to stock up on the best skincare out there. And also, you can just try the luxury and effectiveness of Genucel at the best prices of the year. Your results are guaranteed or receive 100% of your money back, no questions asked. And you'll start seeing results really fast. If you don't like what you see, you will get your money back. This is a no-brainer. Genucel's immediate effects is also free with your order. And so look, it ends up being three free gifts with one order. You can't get this anywhere else. Go to Genucel.com. Again, Genucel, Genucel.com. Joining us now on the line from Rome, let's go to Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, of course, and author of the huge bestseller Trump's America, host of Newt's World Podcast. And check out Gingrich360.com. You get Newt's free newsletter, his podcast, and join Newt's inner circle at Gingrich360.com. Newt, it's great to talk to you. The Democrats just don't take the results of our representative democracy as legitimate any longer. If they lose, it has to be corrupt. Hillary is on television last night talking about how, well, all this funny business with the election, it'll never happen again. But Trump knows he's not legitimate. And of course, marching toward the impeachment inquiry. I just asked the same question of Victor Davis Hanson, but where do you think things stand right at this point?
Well, I think, first of all, none of us should ever use the word impeachment. Because this is not an impeachment process. This is a coup d'etat by the left, which has hated Trump from election night, tried to destroy him with a Russian deal, were repudiated by Mueller in a way which the New York Times editor admitted ruined 2 years of effort on their part. And just ask yourself this, isn't it suspicious that the deep state in the intelligence community happened to change the rules for a whistleblower just before we have this brand new whistleblower who, under the old rules, could not have existed, because the old rules said you could only be a whistleblower if you knew something firsthand. That is, if you were in the room, if you heard the conversation. But sometime in the last few months, they changed that to say, oh, you can have secondhand information. So you get a guy who hates Trump, who says, I talked to some people who told me some things, and here's what I think it means. And he then, of course, is leaked to the left-wing media who hate Trump. And you end up with hysteria. And I think this is a coup d'etat, and we should never use the word impeachment. This is not an impeachment process. There is no legitimacy to it. And it is an effort by the left to destroy the elected president of the United States on behalf of their values and their power structure.
Well, to me, it seems beyond obvious that the fix was in for Trump, not just when he was running for president, then the phony dossier, everything they tried to do in the deep state. And they wouldn't take no for an answer from Mueller. They wouldn't take that as the end. And I think they now are on the verge of destroying Biden's chances, if he had much of a chance after sort of poor performances. But so Elizabeth Warren is going to take on Trump. Do they think that's going to really ultimately win? It might sound good in theory to some of them, but I don't see how that works. But Newt, I think the goal here is just to dirty up Trump enough. That's their goal, and give enough independent voters doubts to take a risk on whoever the Democrats nominate. I don't understand it, frankly, otherwise, because he's not going to get convicted in the Senate.
I think if you're on the hard left, you believe in an alternative world. And so I do think the hard left thinks that they can destroy Trump enough that, in fact, we will end up with the Senate beginning to be shaken. I think that when you watch Nancy Pelosi the other night, and you realize, this is a woman who is a very real professional who's worked very hard her whole life. Both her father and her brother were the mayor of Baltimore. She's lived this business her whole life. She knows better. But the pressures got to her so badly that she rushed out to announce that they were going to begin the impeachment process before they had met with the so-called whistleblower and before they had released a transcript of the phone call. And it gives you a flavor. If even Nancy Pelosi has been rattled so badly and is frightened so much of the hard left, they're not thinking right now. They are engaged in a process that has nothing involving thought attached to it. This is pure emotion. It is a level of hatred that's hard to imagine, that we very seldom have seen in American history. And it really does tell you how deep and how bitter their view of the world is.
Yeah, I think that it's a very disappointing, disheartening to folks. You know, I've been out and about in the country for the last week or so, and it's amazing, Newt, the extent to which Americans live kind of pretty much contented lives, happy lives, separate from Washington and the media complex. You know, they're just so out of touch with the way most people live. And that really struck me, even in a place where I was, like Chicago last Friday. It's all sound and fury, signifying nothing, and it doesn't do anything to help anyone at all. Zero. Except maybe hurt our economy.
Well, I think that the disconnect between the political class and the rest of the country is probably as big as I've ever seen it. And I think that it's really astonishing how big the gap has become. And I think that's part of the reality we have to deal with, that you now have people in Washington who are frenzied, while in most of the country, people are worried about Saturday night or Friday night football, or they're worried about their college game, or they're thinking about what they're going to do for Thanksgiving, but they're not paying day-to-day attention to the noise that's here. But frankly, that's one of the things that's an advantage for the hard left, because they're in a position to keep building this assumption. What they do is they say, you realize, of course, that Trump did bad things. I mean, what Schiff, what Admiral Schiff, the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, tried to do the other day was a real signal of how sick the system is going to become, because he opened his hearing by reading two paragraphs that were totally false into the record as though they were Trump's words, when he himself admitted he personally made them up. And that just tells you how sick the whole process is becoming.
Oh, it was just a parody note. He was just, because Adam Schiff is about as funny as a wisdom tooth impaction, okay? Like, oh, it was a parody. Oh, please. And Nancy Pelosi did the same thing last night on 60 Minutes, by the way. She repeated the lie.
Well, and I think in Schiff's case, what you now know is that the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, who's supposed to be a responsible person looking at the American intelligence system for basically a superpower, is in fact a man of total dishonesty, who in normal society would be written off as a liar and nobody would pay any attention to him. But in the Democratic Party today, he's a hero because the person he's lying about is Donald Trump, and therefore it's okay to lie.
Newt, where does this end, do you think?
Well, it either ends with the left destroying Trump and seizing total control of the country, or it ends up with the left being repudiated on a scale that will be bigger than George McGovern in 1972. There's no middle ground here. There's no compromise. And, of course, there are some occasional weak-kneed Republicans who, either because they don't like Trump or because they want to somehow be with the elites, will occasionally buckle a little bit. But overall, I think the Trump base is very secure. And I think as people realize, you know, just the stuff I mentioned a while ago, this entire whistleblower thing would have been impossible a couple months ago. This is a plot. This is a deliberate, methodical effort to change the rules to get the guy who was elected president by the American people.
Well, and again, the people should decide it all. So the election is next November. And this is, I think, as much about things like a potential opening on the Supreme Court, where they want to say, see, this president's illegitimate. You can't give him another pick. He can't have another pick. And maybe
right,
protests
but
the
they
streets.
Won't be able to stop it. The truth is, Mitch McConnell's done such a great job. If there is another opening of the Supreme Court, Trump will fill it, unless they can get rid of him. And that's why this pressure on the left to impeach is real, because your point's right. I mean, they are panic stricken that he may permanently change the court for a generation, and they know that that could happen any time. So they just can't bite their tongue and wait till the election next year. They're simply compelled to run out and do things that I think are actually counterproductive to their own cause.
Newt, is it not the case that AOC plus three really is the, for all intents and purposes, the brain trust of the Democrat Party? I mean, there's close to a ideas factory that the Democrats have.
Well, Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader, sent out a tweet that said, if you want to know what Nancy Pelosi is going to say tomorrow, read what AOC tweets tonight. And I thought it was a pretty nice way to sort of frame what's going on. The hard left, AOC is an example, but it's more than her. The hard left today owns the Democratic Party. This is why Biden will disappear. This is why all the moderates are disappearing. They just don't fit where that party's going right now. And the result is going to be, I think, that you have a party that is more and more alienated from everybody except hardcore Democrats. And that was the formula that ultimately drove George McGovern to a total disaster in 1972.
Newt Gingrich, it's always so great to talk to you. Check out Gingrich360.com, get Newt's free newsletter, podcast, and join Newt's inner circle. It's terrific commentary. As always, analysis. Can't get any better than Newt. Newt, thanks so much.
Great to be with you.
And I want to thank all of our sponsors who supported the show, including our great friends at GenuCell and So Clean. We love you. You support the show. And remember, it's America now and forever. The Laura Ingraham Podcast.